Welcome into the first episode of Uncovering Success. My name is Brady Slaybaugh, and I am so excited for today. First of all, I want to say a few thank yous to the people that have helped me along the way and pushed me through this process, whether it's been family, friends, mentors. I appreciate you all. So for me, I've always been really intrigued by leadership, trying to figure out what makes someone go, what makes someone work a little bit harder, or even how we as leaders can fill our own weaknesses, how we can bring people into those spots to help make the team better. And my guest today is Dan Owalabi. He's someone I've followed on social media for a while now, and he runs a leadership business trying to help teams get on the path to success by helping to build leaders throughout their programs, their businesses, their companies. And recently, he's put his efforts into a book called Authentic Leadership. This is a fantastic book. I loved every second of it. I was highlighting everything, and we're going to really get into it and discuss it pretty in depth in this interview. So grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, take some notes because you won't regret it.
You don't set out to build a wall. You don't say, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm going to lay this brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. There will not be one brick on the face of the earth that's going to be laid better than this brick that I'm going to lay in this next 10 minutes. Yeah. And you do that every single day.
And soon you have a wall.
All right, Dan. So you've done a little bit of everything. You've been a college basketball star. You've been a teacher, a pastor. And I know you're into some really cool things right now, even a published author. I just got done reading the book, man. Every single page in this book, I think I had some sort of highlighting on. I was taking notes. It was phenomenal stuff.
That's great.
You kind of talk a little bit about what you're doing now and the great things you're into at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Brady, I'm excited because I think God's given me a lot of really good things to get my hands into. First and foremost, I'm a husband. My wife, Erica, is amazing. She's the CEO of pretty much everything that I do. I wouldn't be able to do anything if it wasn't for her running things. I've got two beautiful daughters, Eden and Aniston. And then, this is my day job. I'm the executive director of Branches Worldwide. And that's an international faith-based nonprofit that works with 30 leaders in 30 countries for 30 years. And, my job as the executive director is, just a handful of things, but we've got some volunteers and staff and people to help out with things like that. I do a lot of travel. And then I also lead a business called Owalabi Leadership, and we do keynote speeches and coaching and workshops and stuff like that for leaders in the States. So a lot of what we do with Branches Worldwide internationally, we do with leaders here in the States through Owalabi Leadership.
That's really cool. That's what do you feel like the journey has been like for you? Because I know a lot of people, maybe my age, are kind of going through it. There's a lot of ups and downs, some transitions, trying to figure out what you really want to do in your life. How has that been for you, and how have you kind of learned to handle those transitions?
Yeah. That's a great question. I've been through quite a few transitions myself. I think the job that I thought I wanted when I got out of college didn't end up being what I actually wanted. And so I think, for me, a lot of it has to do with just being flexible and open and paying attention to what God's calling you to and, just kind of winding your way through things and just being, receptive to the opportunities that come to you. I've been through quite a few transitions, though. I was a high school basketball player, got the privilege, like you said, to play in college, which was a lot of fun. Great teams, 4 years, that was a good experience. And then, became a high school history teacher, and was teaching for 3 years and really enjoyed that, but, realized that there was more that I could do to help people reach their full potential. I loved helping students grow, that kind of stuff. But, as a Christian, I really wanted to take that next step and help people grow in their relationship with God. And so, I became a pastor and did that for about 10 years, got to plant a church in my hometown. Watch that grow from 10 people to 600 people. On the biggest Sundays. Yeah. God was really in that and got to see some really cool moments with some people that were very close to me. But just like anything, I think when your season in one area is about done. And so the church was running great. I talked with leadership and I think we set up a great time for transition, and then somebody else came and took over that church. And so then I became the executive director of Branches Worldwide, which really gave me an opportunity to have an even bigger platform all over the world and help even more people. At the same time, I'd already started a company with a friend. And so, you know, those are the things that kind of keep me busy. But it's amazing when you look back on it, you can see those moments of transition and the tension that comes when you have to decide, you know, what Absolutely. You want to do next. And you're never fully sure what's going to happen next, but you have to fully leave what you've been doing up to that point. So those moments are full of trepidation, to say the least.
Absolutely. I remember a quote from your book, actually, that where you said, go in the strength that you have. Am I not sending you, as God says, am I not sending you right now? So go with that strength. And I feel like he's really good at sending, figuring out the right times. If you're patient and wait and listen to him, you'll be ready when it's time to go.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And if you're like me, Brady, I think oftentimes people, what they want is every light on the road to success to be green the entire way. And they're not going to move until every light is green. Yeah. But that doesn't happen. You know, sometimes he asks you to move when one light's green and every other light is red, but you need to take that first step, you know?
Absolutely. So I'm really interested to hear kind of some of the things you've learned through your leadership business that you started. I think that's awesome. I love following you on Instagram. But first of all, what do you feel is one of the biggest flaws that you see in average leaders that if they would just maybe work on this, tweak this a little, it would make them a great leader?
Yeah. That's a great question. If I was going to focus on one thing, there's a few things, but if I was going to focus on one thing, I would tell leaders to stop trying to be a leader. Stop trying to be a leader, because really leadership is about serving people and having a vision that you believe in so passionately that you want that vision to infect their life as well. And so if you're focused on serving people and meeting their needs, right, and you're also focused on creating a vision that they can be a part of, and that's going to make them their life better as well, then the leadership part really takes care of itself. But the issue that people get into, and I fell into this trap too, is that you want to be seen as a leader. You want a position, or if you have a position, you want people to respect you because of your position. And so you try to do all this leadership stuff and you try to read all the right books. But really, it's just as simple as getting to know the people that you're leading and then creating a vision that they can jump on board with and they believe that you can help them get there, and then leading the way that way.
Absolutely. And I know we'll get into some of the specifics of that in a little bit, but I feel like that just hit a lot of people in the face when you said, stop trying to be a leader. If you want to be a leader, stop trying to be a leader. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. People are going to tap you as their leader in their own time. When you demonstrate leadership abilities and when you demonstrate the ability to have influence in their life, when you grab their heart, and they look at you and they say, man, I really believe in that guy, or man, I really believe in that girl. That's when you become a leader. Not when you say you're a leader. You become a leader when they say you're a leader. And so when you start serving people, knowing that you can help them get to where they need to go, then people will look at you that way, but never, never before that.
Exactly. So kind of people my age, no matter what, we're always going to make a mistake. You know, we're young, we're inexperienced, and even when we're not trying, sometimes we might have a big slip up. I know you might have a story from high school for you, but what does that look like down the road then? Because at that time, it can feel like that's the end of the world. And it can be tough to kind of see the bigger picture in things and maybe what's next and how to work your way out of that to the best of your abilities. But what kind of advice can you give for people that are going through maybe a rough patch, or they accidentally made a mistake that they weren't trying to, or maybe they're better than?
Yeah, no, that's good. I have been through some pretty difficult moments. And I think the worst ones are the ones that are unexpected, you know, when they just hit you out of nowhere and you thought it was going to go better than it did. And then it all just kind of blew up in your face. You know, one story you're alluding to is when I was in high school, I was in a pretty dramatic accident, car accident. And it's in the book. And one of the things I talk about was how, you know, what I really wanted more than anything when I was 17 was a car. And somebody gave me, get this, a free car, which almost never happened.
Wow.
You know, just gave it to me. And so I'm driving this thing around and I'm proud because it demonstrated A, that I actually got what I wanted, but B, that I'm somebody, that somebody would be able to give me that thing for free. Not every other kid gets that. So, man, I'm on cloud nine, driving too fast, you know, trying to get to school on time, but still waking up late, you know, like all that stuff. Anyway, I'm driving down this road and, I don't know what happened, but there's this intersection that was close to my house and I'm driving down the road and I know the intersection is coming. And I had gotten into the habit of running the intersection because I was looking, you know, both ways. And if no traffic was there, it's a pretty, you know, flat country road. There's no traffic that could blow by that and I'd be fine. Well, the one day I was super late and I'm focusing on the one side of the road thinking, okay, if traffic's coming there, I'll stop. But if I don't see anything, then I'm going to be okay. So I'm just watching that one side of the road. I'm watching, I'm driving. You know, I don't hit anything. I don't see anything. And so then I say, okay. So I hit the pedal to the metal and I'm blowing through the intersection. And just as I get into the intersection, I see something on my left side. I was looking the right side the whole time. I see something on my left side and it's a big yellow school bus. And no time to react. It hits me right on the driver's side. My car, you know, launches in the air. It does a 360. Everything shatters. Glass breaks. And finally, when my car comes to a stop, I look up and I see a school bus full of kids. They're all crying. You know, the bus driver, he's hyperventilating. He thinks he killed me. And I've got blood on my face. I can't see. You know, it's a terrible. I can't get out my driver's side door. I have to, like, climb over the other side. You know, and so, you know, all that to say, you know, there was a lot of people who were disappointed that day. You know, the person who gave me the free car was my high school basketball coach. He was unbelievably disappointed because he had faith in me and believed I was worthy of a gift that he gave. My mom and dad, you know, didn't want me to have the car in the first place. They were beyond disappointed, you know. And then, you know, it's a small town. And so then everybody talks about it. You know, you're a high school basketball player and you make a huge mistake like that. Now you're the irresponsible kid, you know. So, you know, moments like that, you just want to dig a hole and lay in it and cover it back up again. You know, that's really
absolutely.
But what I learned,
what's the best thing we can do there? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Brady, what I learned is that there's never a mistake that's career ending, that's life ending. And you can come back from almost anything. You know, I mean, there's some things that when you make a mistake, okay, you know what? Some doors are shut now and you can't walk through those. But most things you can recover from, and you can recover from with a really great lesson intact. I mean, for me, and maybe you've been through some stuff too before, but you know, for me, I had to surround myself with people who cared about me, who could speak truth in my life. Because at the moment, man, I was just really low. I had to remember that my faith wasn't in what other people thought of me, but my faith was in God. And so, you know, regardless of how many times I screwed up, you know, he still gave me another chance. I'm alive, right? I'm not dead. Absolutely. I don't have any broken bones. No kids got killed. You know, it could have been much, much worse. And so you're trying to remember all those things, reminding me, okay, you know what? I still have something to take from this and I can move on.
I think too, even if it's a financial mistake, or maybe you started a business that failed, didn't do too well. Maybe you lost some money and now you're kind of at that point when you're at the end of that, you're like, hey, you know, I'm glad I tried this. I think that's a big thing. People have a lot of regret about stuff. Hey, I wanted to start that business. I wanted to get into this and that. But when you're at the end of it, you can look back and say, man, I'm glad I did that. And I learned a lot from it. I learned how to balance a checkbook. I learned how to do the accounting of a business. I learned all that stuff. And then, so when God gives you down the road, that vision that he's been calling you for, then you're prepared for that. And exactly. And sometimes it's hard to see the bigger picture in that and that vision down the road.
Exactly right. And it's easy to catastrophize and think that the one mistake in your life is the mistake you'll ever make and you're done. That's not true.
Yeah,
that's a really good
absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. I want to kind of get into here. My favorite part of the book I literally highlighted everything in this book. This book was great. But
that's great, man.
I really enjoyed the four stages that you talk about of authentic leaders. And specifically the first one where you talk about understanding yourself. I've been saying this a lot too, because I believe that in order to lead others, you got to first know who you are, know your strengths, know your weaknesses. And I think that's that's something that a lot of people just kind of skip over. Yeah, I know myself. I've been through this and that, but you got to be able to take that deep dive into yourself and learn how you can use your strengths and how you can bring other people in for your weaknesses. But can you kind of give us a quick synopsis of the four stages of authentic leaders, and we can maybe kind of dive into a few of them?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love what you're saying, man. That's a big focus for me too. Understanding yourself is critical to becoming a great leader. You know, I started writing the book thinking that it was going to be about servant leadership. I started working with people specifically on servant leadership. And then I realized, just like you're saying, a lot of leaders out there who want to be servant leaders haven't taken the time to understand themselves well. And so, you know, the first step in becoming an authentic leader is understanding yourself. And one of the things I talk about in the book is understanding your own story, and being able to reinterpret your story in a way that takes some of the failures and challenges that you've gone through and reinterpret it in a way that makes it so that those are the things that made you who you are, as opposed to thinking as those of those things as liabilities. You start to think, okay, no, my divorce or the fact that I lost a lot of money or I started a business that it didn't work out or I got kicked out of school, you know, instead of thinking those things are liabilities, you start to think, okay, I learned some significant lessons from those things and now I'm much better because of it. I mean, that's Absolutely. A different way to look at things.
Yeah, and I like the one quote you had in your book from John Maxwell. You know, he had a CEO ask him, like, I can't tell my team my weaknesses. It'll ruin my credibility. And he said, John looked at him and said, the problem is that you think they don't already know your weaknesses.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool because it kind of speaks to the fact that that's how a lot of leaders are. And like you said earlier, you got to stop trying to be a leader sometimes. And when, as a CEO, maybe this CEO for the example, when he kind of takes a step back and shows his weaknesses a little, that's when his surrounding team members can kind of come on board there and fill those voids. And then in the end, it's making the whole group, the whole business better.
Exactly right. But unless the CEO is willing to admit it, then everybody sits on the sidelines just watching this guy walk off a cliff again and again and again without being able to step in and help him. So, man, that's critical. That's good.
Absolutely. And then number two here, the second stage, you've got leading yourself. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, this one, you know, as an athlete, I think, Brady, you can understand this one. This one is classic. And this one is about self-discipline. This one is about actually being the real deal. And I think oftentimes leaders get into a situation where they feel like they have to project confidence. They feel like they have to act like they are more confident than they are, or they have more than they really have to bring. And that leads to a lot of insecurity. But if you're self-disciplined and you've done the work, I mean, you've put the late nights in, the early mornings in, you've learned the whole system, you know how it works, you can walk into any situation and any meeting with an unbelievable sense of confidence because you know what you're talking about and you know how to do stuff. And so I tell a couple stories of, you know, how I tried to project leadership in one situation when I didn't actually have the goods and how poorly mm-hmm. that went. And then the hard work of actually developing myself to the point when I actually stepped into the arena of leadership, I knew what I was talking about. And it wasn't about trying to lead. It was about actually helping people because I knew what I was doing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's unbelievable. And I mean, I wrote down a lot of quotes from this book, but one of the best ones I thought, I want to get this right here. So you said, it's important not to practice what you preach, but preach only what you practice. Mm-hmm. And you hear that first line a lot. Hey, practice what you preach. Whatever you're saying, man, you gotta make sure you're walking the walk, talking the talk here. But you gotta do the other side first. And I've never heard of that before. I thought that was really cool. So to be making sure that you're only talking about what you've already done and what you're doing there.
Exactly. And what that means is that you talk a lot less, right? And you do a lot more, which makes you mm-hmm. an attractive person that people want to follow because they're like, look at that guy's results. And he's barely talked about it. But man, look what he's doing.
Cool. So now that we've kind of figured out ourselves and figured out how to lead ourselves, what kind of comes next? And because obviously the next part is others and bringing others onto our team. And your third point here is called understanding others. And you make a great comparison in the book between power and influence. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that comparison there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so there's two different ways to lead. And I think oftentimes people get these confused, but you could lead with power, where oftentimes you have a position of authority. Think police officer. Police officers are great in our community, but ultimately they lead through power. I mean, they have a gun, they have the ability to take away your freedom. You know, they can do all those things. And so people instantly listen to them. But when you're a leader, power has a limited shelf life. And so you can have a position and you can tell people what to do, but that only lasts for so long. And people get pretty tired of that after a while. What they really want is to be led by somebody of influence, someone who, you know, helps them get where they want to go and helps the company get where they want to go without sort of pushing and making people, sort of forcing people to do things they don't really want to do. And so I use a definition and I say influence is the ability to get people to do your will based on who you are and where you're headed, right? People believe in you and they believe in where you're going and they say, I want that. I see what Brady's doing with his life. I want a part of that. And so they willfully jump on board with who you are and where you're headed. And
absolutely,
if you've done the work beforehand and you've gotten to know yourself and you've disciplined yourself, then you become the sort of person that's worth following. And people want to follow you and it becomes much easier from there.
And I think for a lot of leaders too, just kind of as I've sat on the sidelines and watched, I feel like this is a step that people kind of skip over because they want to get right to your last step, which is leading others. But in order to lead others, you got to understand them first, get to know them and see maybe what makes them tick or what makes them work a little bit harder.
That's right.
So I feel like definitely that this is a point where a lot of people skip over.
That's right. That's right. And I think what you'll see this a lot, you probably already have, is that people will jump to that last stage where it comes to leading people, and then they'll realize that it doesn't actually work. And then they'll have to backtrack and they'll try to understand why people aren't leading them. So they start to understand their people and they realize, oh my gosh, people aren't following me because, you know, I'm not very disciplined. And then they get all the way back to the beginning. And so eventually you're going to get there, but it's better to do it the right way first.
Absolutely. And then can you kind of talk about now putting that all together and truly leading others authentically in the right way?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the last part is about leadership, and that's really about casting vision. I mean, the whole book is about leadership, but this one is specifically about casting a bold vision and challenging people to come alongside you and achieve that vision. I think there's a difference between someone who can stand on a mountaintop and shout and say, hey, here's the direction we should go, you know, and start walking. There's a difference between that guy and someone who can go into the crowd and grab people by the proverbial collar and say, Brady, I want you with me. We're going to do this together. And really challenge people to use all their skills, all their talent, and risk some things to go with you on this journey to achieve something great. And I think the best leaders are the ones that challenge people face-to-face, proverbially, and say, you can do this together. You can do this with me. Let's do this together.
Absolutely. And kind of growing up, being in the sports world and really diving into that now that I'm a little bit older, I've noticed that the best coaches are the ones who have the relationships with each of their players and are always caring after them on the court, but also off the court. And then that way, when you have that relationship with them off the court and that comes to on the court, you can really get at them and kind of like you were talking about, get in their face a little bit and say, hey, let's do this. Let's go this way. And then there's that trust there that because they trust you and they believe in you, they're going to follow you and they want to win for you.
That's exactly right. And that's only possible, Brady, if you have developed a relationship with them, just like you said, if you understand them well, if you know that grabbing them by the collar actually works with them, then you can do that over and over and over again. But if you know that, you know, pat them on the butt and tell them how much you love them, if you know that works with them, then you can do that. But only until you've gotten to understand them can you actually challenge people to achieve the vision.
Absolutely. That's cool, man. The book was unbelievable. I encourage anyone that hasn't gotten the book yet, you can get it on Amazon, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Amazon, man, this book was incredible. I learned a lot from it. Kind of now to end the podcast a little bit, can you kind of tell us your final thoughts on success and what it means to be successful? Because I know for me, I'm trying to figure that out right now. And I don't know what that's going to look like. If that's going to look like different for me 5 years down the road or 40 years down the road, what am I going to be able to look back and say, hey, I was successful in this lifetime. I lived a life of success. And I think that's what a lot of people want too. And we don't know how to get there. Can you kind of give us your opinion on that and how we can maybe get to that successful point?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, Brady, I'll say this. I'll say, you know, for me, it's not about chasing success as much as it's about chasing significance. You know, what I really want is to be significant in the lives of the people around me. I don't want to be held up as somebody, hey, that they admire. I don't want that. I want them to say, man, this guy really helped me in my day-to-day life. And so for me, success, or maybe better put, significance, means being the best version of myself in the service of other people. And so I want to do everything I can to develop myself and push myself to be the very, very best version of myself. I want to look back on myself 10 years from now, look back on myself now and say, gosh, I am way better than Dan in 2020. Like, that's really what I want to say. And then I want to be able to specifically point to people in my life and in our community that I have personally helped. You know, at this point, I can point to you right now and say, you know, Brady read that book. And I think Brady is better because of that. And so I can say, you know, God, I served Brady. I think everybody needs to be able to point to a group of people or to an individual and say, you know what, I'm here to serve these guys, and I'm going to become the best version of myself in the service of them.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I appreciate the time today. I appreciate you giving us a little chance to get inside of your brain and kind of pick at that. Where can we find you online, social media? Where can we find you, as well as Branches Worldwide?
Yep. So if you go to any social media platform, and we're on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. You know, you can find me on all of those, Dan Owolabi. You can go to owolabileadership.com, and you can find more information about how to buy the book and the services that our company offers. We're actually going to have the book on Audible here in the next couple of weeks. Nice. So if you're an audio reader, you can pick it up that way as well. You said you could pick up the book on Amazon. So those are all the places. And then if you want to find out about the nonprofit that I lead, branchesworldwide.org is a great place to go. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Instagram. We're also on LinkedIn. Just go to Branches Worldwide. So
awesome. Yeah, guys, check those out. Check him out. He's a great follow on social media. I've been doing it for a little bit now. Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Appreciate you, Brady. Thanks, buddy.